pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two now underway. Text line 251-343-0106 to get in touch with the program. That is how you do so. Come up in about 30 minutes. We'll hear from our now senior U.S. Senator, Tommy Tuberville. You want to stick around for that. At 11 o'clock hour, former State Senator Trip Pittman, we'll talk some state politics with him. That's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, so please stay tuned. Joining us now, friend of the program, always a delight to have this next gentleman on. He represents us here in the 1st Congressional District. Congressman Jerry Carl on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm great.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We always appreciate it. So we're a few weeks removed since leadership elections. Here we are. It looks to me like kind of what a lot of the was promised on the campaign trail, particularly with the oversight and these investigatory procedures. It looks like we're probably right around the corner from seeing some of this begin.
Yes, they have started out sending requests for information, and I think they have sent out a few requests for folks to actually show up in at a conference hearing or a committee hearing. But we still are not completely finished with the committees themselves. So the Democrats have got some committee changes they're making. We've got some that will make it the last minute too, but we're trying to get moving. Most of the committees are settled in, but some of them are not. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, I guess there just seems to be kind of we've been talking about it for so long for the last few years. Hunter Biden's laptop. Find out what happened with COVID-19. And Fauci and I think. I guess people are kind of anticipating, when is this really going to start? And it sounds like you got some of that going on, but maybe it's only got to be a matter of weeks at most, right?
Well, I wouldn't put a time frame on it. And I don't think I don't think it's going to be a matter of weeks. I think it's a matter of probably days. Until you start seeing things moving. Again, they've already started requesting people to come and actually speak to the committee. Fauci is obviously one of them. The laptop, the committee has all the information they need. Now they're beginning to dig into it's the entire Biden family is what it's coming down to. So they're getting trying to get and the White House is doing a great job of pushing back and saying that's not information you're not going to get, financials we're not going to get. There's so many things they're saying we're not going to get. It's just going to take a process of the committee of Republicans and Democrats to keep pushing back on it until we get an answer. I mean, the biggest thing that got me fearful at this moment is this document issue. I read an article last night. I don't know how true it is, but they were talking about Biden's. They're talking about six documents. They're talking about multi-boxes. Coming out of the Penn University lab here in Washington. So, again, I don't know how much truth there is to that, but if that's the case, we got some real problems in this country. I sit in on a lot of those briefings. I don't get briefed like a president. I don't get briefed like a vice president for obvious reasons. You only tell a congressman what you want him to hear because you know he's going to go tell somebody else. I say that as a joke. But even in our briefings, the documentation, I mean, it's numbered. They know exactly what number you got. And before you leave that room, they got it in their hands. They're making sure you don't leave there with any notes. I mean, they seize everything you've got. And if you want them to keep the notes, you simply tell them to keep the notes and they put them in archives. So Biden got that many documents away just bumfuzzles me. The president, I understand. I'm not making an excuse for him, but I understand because he's working after hours. They bring a lot of documentation to him in his office, but he's the only person they can do that with. So there's a lot of answers there. We've got a lot of sensitive material that's out there that we need to make sure doesn't get in the wrong hands.
Well, and you know, these guys, they work on the weekends, they work around the clock. So even to some degree, maybe I can understand the vice president, you know, that it's not as easy as just having a you leave it at the office every day if you are in that role, even as high as vice president or some cabinet officials. So it makes me think maybe this is maybe not – and maybe intentional in some ways, but maybe not as intentional in other senses. And this is just a problem that we're going to have to grapple with and figure out how to track these documents or somehow or another.
And stop it from happening. They are trackable. They are numbered. They know exactly what documents everyone gets. And that's what frustrates me here. So they knew exactly what Donald Trump had because they went to Trump and asked for him back. So they didn't know what Biden had. I don't want to sit here and play this scenario out, burn your time up with it. But you know, we've got some real issues up here. We've got to get moving on. I think you see that happening now. I mean, we've got to keep the country running. I mean, we've got the debt ceiling coming up. We've got a good, healthy week this week of bills that we're going to be pushing on the floor, primarily dealing with a pandemic and trying to get the pandemic classified as over, done, finished. Let's get back to work. We got a resolution coming up Thursday that's going to require everybody to take a vote on socialism. Are you for it or against it? I mean, it's simple, silly stuff, but we're actually having to draw the lines. Like the pandemic stuff, they threw a number out this morning I don't want to quote, but there's a large percentage of government employees that have still not come back to work. So I put a bill on the floor last year, and it basically said if you don't want to come back to work, you got 30 days and you're gone. But we don't replace that job. Comer's being introduced on the floor this week, and it's basically the same, but it's telling people either come back to work or get gone. But they've used this pandemic and they have milked it. And this cow's dry. We can't just keep this COVID stuff around and use it when it benefits a party or benefits a group of people. Because I've got people, especially with tax returns back to 2021 that still haven't got their refunds. You can't get IRS agents on there because again, a large percentage of them are out on COVID. But, you know, the pushback on that is, well, we need more money to hire more people. No, let's get the people back we've already got hired and we're paying because we're paying these people. So those are some of the arguments we're going to have this week on the floor. Okay. We basically want to say the pandemic's over. Let's get back to work.
First of all, about debt ceiling, what is realistic in that situation? What can you guys get as Republicans in the House?
Well, first thing we got to do is we got to get the president and the Senate to sit down and let's start negotiating. McCarthy, all the committee chairs, we started looking for ways to cut our budgets in different committees. We have our ideas. We've not shared them yet, but we have ideas where we can start making some cuts. And Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid is not on the table. So everybody don't buy into that, you know, the Republicans are coming after your grandmother's insurance. That's not true. But there's so many things that we can do. So we're asking the president to sit down with us and share with us what he thinks we can cut from the budget. His reaction is no, there's nothing can be cut from the budget. Which I find that just bizarre because there's always ways to fat. I run businesses my entire life. When things start getting a little tight or things get uncomfortable or I'm spending more money than I've got coming in and it happens in businesses, you know, you sit down and figure out what you can do without. You start back over. And that's where we're at in this country. We've got to back up. Now, the debt ceiling itself, people keep asking, do you think we're going to raise it? Do you think we're going to raise it? I want to see how close we can get to lowering our debt, see what we can do without before I give a straight answer on whether we're going to raise it or not. And we may not have an option, but granted, we can at least go through the process of figuring out what we can live with or without.
Well, is it realistic to think that we'll see some kind of cuts?
I think so. I think the Democrats are smart enough that they can use it. They can use the Republican Party as an excuse to make some cuts, especially to some social programs that they're not fond of anymore. And they can make us the bad guys by saying, okay, cut these programs. And of course they'll run to the podium and scream, you know, the Republican Party is the reason you're losing your funding on these programs. That's fine. We got to hurt a lot of people's feelings. There's going to be a lot of Republicans' feelings get hurt when we start cutting programs. But, you know, we've got to save this country. We've got to keep this country from going any further in debt. We've got to get them back to a balanced budget. We've got to do the hard things that nobody really wants. Everybody wants a balanced budget, but don't touch their stuff. You know, we deal with that every day up here. But we're going to have to put ourselves in a situation. I think the Democrats will take advantage of it. If they don't, they're foolish. You know, they can make us the bad guy and get things accomplished that they no longer want to deal with as far as budgets.
Joined by Jerry Carl, Congressman for our 1st Congressional District here in coastal Alabama. Congressman, let's talk about Ukraine. And where do you think we are right now on Ukraine, Congressman? Because we're sending tanks over there, which I get it. We have plenty to spare. And do you still feel like this? Are you worried about mission creep? Are you worried about this becoming something bigger?
Everywhere I go, there's a sales job going on Ukraine. I went to had an event that I represented Alabama at the other night at the French Embassy, and everything there turned into Ukraine. This is Jerry's opinion. I want them to win. I want to do what we can afford to do to help them win. But we have got a southern border. If we're going to spend money, let's spend it on the southern border. Let's don't send it to Ukraine. Now, we may have some aging equipment that they can use. God bless them. Let's get rid of it. Let's purge it. We've given the president a dollar figure several months ago, and he's still working from that dollar figure. So we can send them tanks. We can do some stuff. But, you know, Jeff, I'm just so worried about this country and the fentanyl issue and the southern border. And now the big thing right now is the northern border. Yeah, we've just woke up and figured out while we're down south chasing things around the border, they're just taking a boat and coming across Lake Erie with fentanyl like it's an open road. So now we've got problems on both sides, north and the south. So we got problems in this country. Ukraine, again, I want to support them where we can support them, but I don't want to support them with money I think can save lives here in America.
It's funny you say that there's a sales job going on because I detect the same thing, how important it is. And I could go either way on it, but there is clearly a push for us to be more involved or in some way or some form or fashion.
Yeah, I want to be reasonable thinking on this. Everybody wants to defeat Russia. There's no doubt about that. I don't care which side of this issue you're on. So we've got to push back on this communism, socialism, all these isms that we've got going on over there. But I just don't get the feeling I've gotten in the past. I don't feel like Russia. I don't feel like France. I don't feel like Germany is doing their fair portion. Put up more money. It's their continent. I mean, they got the most to lose here. So I need to put up more money and quit depending on the U.S. to do it all. We haven't done it all, but we've done more than our fair share, in my opinion. But, you know, the attitude up here was all pro-Ukraine to start with, but I see it changing. I do start seeing more people like myself that are going, hey, I get a lot of phone calls from people back in my district telling me to don't fund them. Don't send any more money. Let's focus on ourselves. Let's focus on our own issues. And you have to listen to your constituents. You have to listen to your constituents. So that's an area up here that again, just a huge sales job going on. Especially from the Democrat Party. I don't quite understand that, but especially the Democrat Party. But I understand they're beginning to get some pushback, too, on some of their TV programs.
Yeah, and we'll wrap it up on this, but it does seem like to me, you know, it used to be the Democrats were, at least in 2006-ish, they were the anti-war, anything abroad party. And now, here in the last few years, it's really Democrats and obviously some Republicans, the usual culprits, sure. lead the way here. It's changed. The Democrats are now kind of, they found the war or they found the military does something like.
Well, I wish I could tell you everything I know, but I'll tell you this much. Early on, we said send long-range missiles, send the planes, do all the things that we need to do to win this and win it fast. But our military has chosen, leadership has chosen not to do that. It's been a slow leak of equipment. It's been short-range stuff. It's been stuff that we don't upset the Russians with. Well, I got news for the military leadership. The Russians don't like us anyway. So what difference should it make what we send them? So we should have done this a year ago. We should have led the war with it, and I think we'd be a much, much different situation today. But with that said, hindsight's 2020. We've got to move on with what's going on in the future. France, Germany have got to step up. More money, more money, more money.
Congressman, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thanks for coming on this morning. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care, buddy.
All right. That was Congressman Jerry Carl here from the 1st Congressional District. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Still love rock and roll.